Welcome to episode number 108 of the Rock and Roll Research Podcast, where we share the super cool backstories and side gigs of the research and insights pros that you trust. Well, hey, today is a real treat for me because I've got my research and drumming buddy, Kevin Lang, joining me here on the podcast. So some of you might already know Kevin from the market research industry, maybe from his 6 years at Civicom. Maybe you crossed paths when he was at Polefish, or maybe even most likely at his new gig, which is really kind of the voice of the market research industry, which is Green Book, a really good company. So some of you may know the Green Book directory that's been around for a good long time. Maybe their podcasts like Lenny and Karen on the Exchange on Fridays, or certainly the Grit Report, which has become kind of the de facto guide that everyone turns to for who's innovative in the research space. You might also know that they are the ones that put on the highly successful IIEX series of global conferences. The one in Asia Pacific just wrapped up, which was co-chaired by Dave McCowan, who was on this podcast recently, which is cool. That was in Bangkok. There are three coming up. Let me just mention them quickly. The first is North America in Austin, Texas in April. I will be there for sure. The next one is in Europe, IIEX Europe in Amsterdam. That is in June. And then the LATAM IIEX will be in beautiful Miami, Florida this year in September. So all super cool stuff. Check them out. But I have to say that I met Kevin through the MR Jam, which some of you are familiar with. Happens at Quirks from time to time, where a bunch of really talented market research musicians get together and play a whole bunch of songs. So in New York last summer, Kevin and I were holding down the drum stool and we got to be great friends. So I'm super excited to have you on, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here. Big fan of the podcast. So, I apologize if I'm a little nervous, but happy to be here.
That's all good. It won't last long. All right, Kevin. So let's, if you've seen the podcast, you know, we usually start with research. What's your research story? How'd you get into it? And tell us about what you're doing at Green Book.
Sure. Absolutely. So career salesperson. I started off my career selling technology, right? Okay. I came across Civicom when I moved to New York. In 2016, and that's where I threw down roots in the research industry. I learned everything that I needed to know. Yeah. And it was a great place to be. I met so many great people. I learned the business, the technology, the who's who. And part of my job was to go to events. It was to go to the IIEXs, the Quirks. And there I met so many great people. What I'm doing now, it's kind of like meant to be. I've always been a fan of Green Book. So now I get to work they pulled back the curtain and let me behind. Now I get to work with the awesome team that is Green Book. So what I'm doing now, I'm working directly with Dana Stanley, and it's our job to, guide suppliers in the industry through the ecosystem that is Green Book. I know, you mentioned the Grit Report, you mentioned the podcast, you mentioned, the events around the world. But there's so much else that we can do and help suppliers to connect with our audience. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm super psyched to be doing it.
Yeah, cool. I do want to, since you mentioned Civicom, I want to send a shout out to Annie McDonald, who was also on the podcast and is just a crushingly, amazingly vocalist.
Yes.
She really brought the house down at the MR Jam. So yeah, super cool. And it's got to be great at Green Book because it's like so many movers and shakers in the industry, Lenny, and you mentioned Dana Stanley and Karen. And I mean, so many great people. And I know Susan Griffin is involved. So just a great, great organization.
Yeah. Great crew over here. And again, I'm going to echo your shout out to Annie. She's my mentor. She totally, took me under her wing and showed me everything there is to know about the industry. So huge shout out to Annie. Working at Green Book, I mean, everyone is just so accomplished and smart. So it's a little intimidating for me to come in. But I'm learning so much from everybody, and they tell me I have some strengths to give too. So hopefully I'm adding value there.
Yeah, I have no doubts. I have no doubts. Cool. All right, man. Let's talk drums, because at the MR Jam, I only picked up four songs. You took the whole rest of the set, and talk about one of those people you can plug in, just rock solid. You know, you've got all these musicians that are rotating in and out, and you're just holding it down. So how did you start playing drums in the first place? And tell us about some of your experiences along the way.
Sure. Thanks. Drumming is just something I always remember doing. My parents told me I was hitting the pots and pans, and then I remember, you know, little drum sets appearing and me destroying them. And, you know, by the time I got to elementary, middle school, I had an actual drum set. So really thankful for that. And then middle school, got into some bands, started just trying to make it happen. And then same all throughout high school, the same, always in a band, always just making music. Yeah. It was always a hobby. I always loved doing it. When I wasn't playing with a band, I was, you know, downstairs just making noise. And whenever the lights flickered, that was time to stop, you know, maybe the neighbors called or something like that. But it's always just been a passion of mine. Always loved doing it. So once high school was done, I got to college, and the same band from high school, we kind of continued on, and it actually became like a job. So we got this relationship with a little bar nearby, and you know, once a month it was called Franco's in Waltham, Massachusetts.
Okay, cool.
Franco's, if you're those from you know, the Boston area, please, if you haven't tried Franco's pizza, probably the best. I mean, it's Waltham's best kept secret. So yeah. But we used to just pack the place, you know, every month. And it was basically my, you know, the way that I got beer money in college. You know, it was a great deal. It was a cool deal. So, after that, college ended. So now what? So we continue to play on. But, you know, after college, life happens. You know, people get married, start to have kids and stuff like that. So it kind of that band kind of, you know, just kind of retired. But I had to keep drumming. So I continued on where I could. I just, you know, went on Craigslist and tried to find bands, or friends needed help in the studio. So I would, you know, say, yeah, I can record some tracks, whatever you need. So so now I'm just, you know, just drumming as much as I can. But along the way, you mentioned the MR Jam. So I have to talk about that a little bit, because that was one of those things where, you know, where your job meets your passion kind of thing. I was at an event, and I saw on the agenda MR Jam. I'm like, what is that? So I just went to go check it out, and I was blown away. They're just like you described. There was these amazing musicians on stage from all different parts of the United States or world, and they were coming together to make really, really good music. So I was like, how the heck do I get involved? Right. So I sent an email over, and you know, the bill was filled. So I had to wait till the next following year, and I was able to sit in on a few songs, and, you know, the rest is history. I, you know, for a few years in a row, I was jamming in New York and a couple of years in Chicago. And it was just so cool. It's just an amazing experience. And not just because you get to play music, but it was the people that you meet along the way that you might not otherwise. So like, for example, you and I met at the MR Jam, and we became pretty close, like right away. And you make some amazing friendships, but also, you know, it is an opportunity to network. You know, there are some, you know, some business relationships that can come out of it too. So, just a great experience.
Yeah. So a couple questions, 'cause I'm curious. The thing I noticed about your playing is that you could play all different styles, because you can play with dynamics, you can play heavy, you can play soft, and the tempo is just spot on always. So I'm curious, you know, your band that you spent so much time with growing up, what kind of material was that?
Yeah. So thank you for asking. So we started off as a Dave Matthews Band cover band. So,
okay. You can't suck and play Dave Matthews covers.
Right. You know, regardless of how anyone feels about Dave Matthews' voice, 'cause I know that's usually the first, like, check out their drummer, Carter Beauford. He is
unbelievable.
He is a fusion jazz drummer virtuoso. So that guy, he's been my idol since I can remember. Like he's just unbelievable. I was a fan of him before I was a fan of the, Dave Matthews Band.
Okay, yeah.
I saw him on some drumming video, like some drummers. I'm like, who is that guy? That guy. So I always looked up to him, his style. He has this ability to kind of go nuts, but still stay on tempo. And that's really hard to do. And it
Yeah.
doesn't come natural. So like I spent a lot of time with the metronome. I spent a lot of time like just putting the work in to get to that point. But also I love straight up rock and roll. I grew up listening to the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Eric Clapton, you name it.
Sure.
So I always had that in the back of my mind too. So I always try to mix up what I'm listening to and what I'm drumming to. So I think that might be the reason why you noticed what you did. And no one's ever complimented me that way, so I appreciate that.
I have to just a personal thanks as well. You mentioned how the MR Jam creates friendships.
Yeah.
As you know, at that time, I was extremely sick.
Yeah.
And so was my wife. It was a super, super difficult time. Pretty much
Yeah.
all the time at that conference that wasn't at the MR Jam for me was in the hotel room.
Right.
But you were the right friend at the right time, and so I really appreciate that. I'm grateful for it.
Absolutely. And I think
So.
it's also worth mentioning that, I'm a righty and you're a lefty.
Yeah.
So when it came time to like usually switching out drummers is just like sit down and play. So we had to take, the snare drum and the hi-hat and the cymbals and kind of switch them around last minute. But honestly, you weren't even fazed. You just sat down cold. You didn't even warm up and you just jumped right into it and you just rocked the house for the rest of the night. And I was so impressed. So
I
just wanted you
appreciate that, man.
to
It
know.
was a ton of fun, that's for sure. It was an absolute
Absolutely.
blast. So
Yep.
you talked about really putting in the work, and like when you're sitting down with the metronome, that's grinding it out, kind of woodshed stuff. So I'm curious to know, is there anything you took from that experience growing up and learning to play drums that you've applied to your professional career?
Yeah, definitely. I think, first and foremost, I took lessons when I was little and stuff like that, but I learned a lot of this stuff on my own. So that translates into the professional world. Like, trust your gut, trust your instinct, be
Yeah.
confident, because you'll figure out a way. The other thing is, when something doesn't work out for you got to put in the work, figure it out, like practice, research, look it up, and do it. So that's one thing that I think translates into my professional world. The other one is when you're playing music, it's fun to do it by yourself, but you gotta, it's it only becomes beautiful when you're working with other people or other musicians. So
Yes.
I think since I started at a young age doing that, I think it translates into like teamwork and accepting other people's strengths and then working together with them to make something like amazing and beautiful. So
Yeah.
that's how I look at it, like in the workplace. I'm always looking for other people's strengths and trying to meld mine with them to bring forth something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree
yeah.
more. The woodshedding has to be done, but you're really creating when you're with somebody else. So that's, yeah, here, here. Cool. Cool. All
Yeah.
right. So you're at Green Book now. You've been there like 6, 7 months, something like that, right?
Has it been that long already? No, I'm just kidding.
Time flies
It sure does. Yeah.
for
Yeah.
sure. So, what does you're at this place now, you've got all these forward-thinking people that you're working with. I'm curious to know what the future of research looks like from your seat.
Yeah, and I have a pretty unique perspective because before I was with Green Book, I was kind of like on the other side. I was a supplier in the industry. And I knew what I was looking at through my lens, but now that I'm kind of on the other side and I'm exposed to a lot of different other suppliers in the industry and thought leaders and technologies that are coming around, I feel like access to Lenny and Karen and the whole crew here at Green Book. I think one thing that I always try to go back to when things get complicated or things get like AI is something that's just if I hear it again, but I always like to think about it like this. We need to remember that research, especially, it all comes down to people. It all comes down to humans. I think if we continue to learn about technology and embrace it, we will kind of feel better and at ease in some ways, because right now, especially with AI, a lot of people in research are like, is this going to take my job?
Yep.
I think that in some ways, I think we need to remember that as great as technology can be, at the end of the day, you're still going to need great people, great service, and, you know, someone there to tell you how to use it, right?
Yes.
So I guess the short answer is I think AI is definitely going to affect our industry in a major way.
Sure.
But at the same time, I don't think it's going to take jobs. I think it's going to just kind of change the way that we're going to be doing our jobs across the board. So
yeah.
I
I've
think
heard a lot
that's
of that sentiment that it's going to make a lot of what we do more efficient. And it will perhaps, you know, enable us to focus more on the value added activities, which I would welcome for sure. So
yeah, me too.
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah. So
cool.
Excellent.
Awesome. All right. So Green Book is like a media company, right? Within our industry, I guess you could say, maybe.
Yep.
So I'm interested to know, outside of Green Book, when you're consuming media for insight, inspiration, enjoyment, big broad question, you know,
Sure.
what's on your plate?
Oh, sure. And outside Green Book, that's going to throw me, but
you can say within Green Book as well, of course.
Okay, good. Because even before I was hired at Green Book, I love the exchange. Like if you haven't
Me
witnessed
too.
The Exchange yet, it's every Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern. It's Lenny Murphy, it's Karen Lynch, and they are just, you know, from their perspective, they are making a summary of what's happening that week in the industry. So it's incredibly dynamic. It's incredibly informative every single week. And the half an hour goes by like this. So that's something that I've been kind of paying attention to a lot and using as, you know, a source of knowledge and a source of information in the industry. So have to give a huge shout out to the Exchange.
Yeah, I would too. I'm really hooked on it, actually, and
Yeah.
it's funny that I have a standing meeting now that happens at that time, and it's supposed to last 15 minutes. So I'm always like looking. It's like, when is this going to end? So I can jump on the.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you, because sometimes I have meetings too, or like, you know, meeting with a client, and I'm like, darn it. But thank goodness they record every episode, and we can go back and watch it. But you know, the part that you miss if you're rewatching is that, you know, the interactive part. You can always like message them, and they give you a shout out live, which is really cool. So.
Yeah, I like
Yeah.
that too. I like that too.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else media wise that comes to mind for you?
Oh man, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yep.
There's just so much. It's like, just sit down and think about what media am I consuming?
I know.
I don't know. So, okay. So then let's really get into it then, Kevin.
Sure. Yep.
I think you've seen the podcast, so you know what's coming. This is the question that I wait for. It's the most important one. And you've given some clues, you know, some of the stuff you grew up with, but I have no idea what you're going to answer. So enough, I'm going to shut up now. So the question is, you're stranded on a desert island, right? You've got three records at your disposal to keep you company for the rest of your days. What are those records?
And this, like, thank you for giving me time to prepare, but also, why did you give me time to prepare? Because, you know, I have like an answer of like 1,000, but it boils down to these. Okay. So I'm going to go with number one, Green Day Dookie. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Green Day Dookie, if you didn't know, is already 30 years old. So, wow. The nostalgia factor for me, you know, I remember, I think I got a good grade or something, or it was my birthday, and my parents let me go to the record store and pick out any album I wanted. So that was the one I grabbed.
Nice.
And that's the first record at that young age that just went boom. It just blew my mind. My mother took a Sharpie and crossed out all the swear words in the, you know, in the booklet. So that would represent, like, you know, my childhood, and
Yeah.
it would give me a great deal of relief if I'm stuck on a desert island.
I love it.
So
Hey,
that's one.
can I interject with a quick anecdote about that?
Sure.
Not to throw out some OG status or anything,
Yeah.
but so when Dookie came out, I was already a huge Green Day fan. Anything on Lookout Records, I was a huge fan of. And so the album had just come out, but it didn't blow up yet. And they played in Minneapolis, which is where I was living at the time, at First Avenue, $5 tickets.
Wow.
And they still had the bookmobile. I think was it Billy Joe? His dad gave him bookmobile to go on tour. They still had that. It was parked out front, and it was just absolutely packed to the gills. It's crazy awesome. And they're still an amazing live band. They really bring it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Totally,
love the
totally.
choice. Love the
Yeah,
choice.
thank you. Thank you. Love Green Day. I mean, I'm not huge on their later stuff. I just kind of lost track, I guess. I haven't been paying as close attention, but still huge fans. So the second album is going to be, of course, Dave Matthews Band Every Day.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to choose which Dave Matthews album because they all have such significance in my life. And in my, journey of drum playing, I guess, and influence
Yeah.
there. But I chose Every Day because it was a different album for them. I think they were trying to get on the charts a little bit more. Dave is always like a grassroots kind of culty following. And I think they broke through in a number of ways on the top 40 with this one. But they still stayed true to themselves. And the songs on that album, like start to finish, are all so different and diverse. And there's some ballads, there's some rockin' tunes, there's some different stuff going on. And it's just one of my favorites. So I can't leave home without it.
Hey, I love the choice. I hate to do this, but I have another anecdote.
No, this is
Yeah.
good. This is awesome.
So right after my daughter was born, my wife and I are living in Chicago, and it was a beautiful Sunday night, and we're walking her in the stroller, and it was late, and it was dark around our apartment. And we hear this voice like right behind us, like right between our heads, right? This really low voice. And it says, look at her, so beautiful. Someday she's going to be running around and chasing storms. And we turn around and it was freaking Dave Matthews.
What? Wow.
And we were just like absolutely stunned. Absolutely stunned. It was just super cool. Super cool.
Wow.
So
That's
he's all
amazing.
good in my book. Yeah. Great
Yeah,
memory.
and he just threw a poem at you guys that you can have forever too. That's so
Yeah,
cool.
that's right. That's right.
That's amazing. Okay, and so it was really hard for me to choose this one, but I knew the artist. I knew I wanted it to be Rolling Stones because
Yeah.
Rolling Stones is part of my DNA. Like I know all the Rolling Stones songs by heart, not by choice. It was just always on when I was a kid, and it's always on when I go visit my parents. So it was really tough to choose one album, but I boiled it down to Some Girls. And if you're not familiar with that particular album, because they have a million, this is the song Miss You, Beast of Burden, and Shattered.
Yeah.
Those songs specifically, but the whole album as a whole. That would say, all right, mom and dad, I know I'm deserted right now, but you are with me via this album. So
Yeah.
that's my third and final. But it was really hard to choose those three.
That's so funny. Well, in keeping with the theme, one anecdote for that answer. First of all, there's a number of people who said have mentioned Rolling Stones albums. It's one of the most popular mentions on the podcast. But at a conference last week, there was somebody from the UK. I wish I could remember his name, his company, but he posed the question to me. He said, Beatles or Stones? And I couldn't answer him right away. So I went to Facebook and I was asking the question, Beatles or Stones? I need to give him an answer tomorrow. And long story short, I settled on Stones,
Nice.
kind of for the vibe, the
Yeah.
attitude.
Yeah.
So that's going to be it was clearly an unpopular answer on my Facebook,
Sure.
but
Well,
that's my answer. I'm sticking to it.
How can you choose? I mean, the real answer is why not both, right? I mean, they're both like equally important and powerful and wonderful. So I couldn't choose. I would just say, I don't know, both.
I saw this guy the next day. I said, "Have my answer, stones." And he's just like, "What?" He wasn't happy with that at all. Well, there you
Awesome.
go. Cool. So, are you going to be at IIEX in Austin in
I
April?
will. I will be there with bells on.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. So, I will see you there. And of course, Europe's coming up in June. And LATAM in September. So lots going on with Green Book, IIEX, all that good stuff. So it's been an awesome chat, like always, Kevin. Let's definitely stay in touch. We'll talk soon. If I don't hear from you before April, I'll see you there. So rock and roll.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Have a
All
great
right.
day. Thanks.
I love it.